Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
About 2 weeks ago, we talked with Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Detroit Pistons, and we talked to Dwayne actually again this week. It was funny. I was talking to our friend Will Birchfield, who writes for us, does a great job, after our interview with Dwayne Casey a few weeks ago, and he said, "So basically, this just turned into you guys sharing stories about Sean Kemp, right?" And I said, "Yeah, basically, it turned into us to sharing Sean Kemp stories." Sean Kemp, for people who don't know, was an unbelievable basketball player in the 1990s for the Seattle Supersonics, who then, I don't know how to phrase it, Stoney, gained a lot of weight, went different locations, bounced around from team to team, and then was involved in some paternity suits, and was never quite the same after that. In the mid-90s, Sean Kemp, if you had said, "Who's the best player in basketball not named Michael Jordan?" some people would have said Sean Kemp. Maybe not a majority, but some people would have. And then you look at his career now, not in the Hall of Fame, not on anybody's list of all-time all-timers, except for maybe all-time greatest Seattle Supersonics. He's like, he basically fell off the proverbial sports cliff, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he was unbelievable. Great posters people had of Sean Kemp. He was a great player, great dunker, and I didn't realize what a great teammate he was till like Dwayne Casey was telling us about him. But who else is there that have just like, you know, been really good for a while and then, boom, their career just disappeared, basically.
Right. So we're looking for guys who, you know, it's not a bust situation.
It's not a one-hit wonder either.
Who are busts. It's guys who for a few years were as good as anybody, or right up there at least in the conversation. And then for whatever reason, whether it's injury or drugs or change of locale or something, they just kind of fall off the proverbial sports cliff. 248-539-9797, or on the ticket text, also 248-539-9797. So the other name that always comes to mind for me, and this definitely is much more injury than anything else, but is Mark Pryor of the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Pryor was the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, the way he was throwing for the Cubs down the stretch in 2003 when they went to the NLCS, they had the Bartman game, it looked like they were going to finally go to the World Series and scratch that itch. And from that point on, we really never heard from Mark Pryor again. I mean, I know we did. He pitched for the Cubs. He pitched for other teams, I want to say like the Cardinals or the Angels or the Dodgers or somebody like that. But that was it. I mean, Mark Pryor went from being, okay, he will be the best pitcher in the game, to absolutely nothing. And it was all because injuries.
Yeah, I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, you could also say, you know, same team, different year, Kerry Wood. I mean, he was great. And then injuries
but
got him.
Kerry Wood always struck me as he was like, from the moment he struck out 20 Astros early in his rookie year, it was like, okay, he's going to be a star-crossed pitcher, because you just knew that he was just dealing. They were trying to baby him. It was kind of like he was Strasburg before Strasburg was Strasburg, and it just injuries kind of caught up with him.
What about Gilbert Arenas? I mean, he was a
that's not bad.
He was a great player, and then he just, you know, he had the gun dispute in the locker room, and basically, he just disappeared.
Well, he had the gun dispute in the locker room, and then remember he made the joke on the court of him firing off two guns.
Mm-hmm.
And that offended people to such an unbelievable degree that it kind of rat him out of the game. I'd have to kind of track his history following that. But yeah, Gilbert Arenas drafted second round, I think, by the Golden State Warriors. And he was one of those guys like Draymond Green who had a huge chip on his shoulder for all the teams that had passed on him, including Golden State. He held it against Golden State that they didn't take him in the first round. And so he then decided to go get the max contract. And he was a great scorer for Washington, to be sure.
Here's one, Jamie, before we go to the phones at the 248-539-9797. And there's a mystery to this that I don't know has been solved, but for like a two-year period, actually it was one great year, and then injury got him, whatever happened to Anthony Kim? I mean, he was like a young guy, won three PGA tournaments, was great in the President's Cup, and then he got hurt. And I've heard stories that due to his insurance policy, he's not allowed to even pick up a golf club or he's allowed to play, but not in any competitive, or he loses a crap load of money. But it just seems so weird. I know he might have had a drinking problem or a partying problem. Because at one point, this was going to be the young guy of the future, right? Remember him?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. When you first brought him up, I was like, Anthony Kim. And then I remembered what you mentioned, which was the Ryder Cup. He was great for us in the Ryder Cup. And he kind of had that. Didn't he have like an AK belt buckle? I mean,
yes.
There was a little bit of a
showman.
There was like some sizzle to the steak. Yeah. He's a bit of a showman.
Yeah.
He's only 34 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
I'm telling you, something happened, and I heard, you know, that there's something with his injury settlement with insurance, and it's weird.
Yeah.
He was.
That's a great one. I'll have to look that up because I don't know what the backstory is, because you're right. He looked like he was on his way to being not just a really popular golfer, but
yes,
a guy who could contend and win majors for sure.
All right, let's go to Tim in Flushing. You're on 97.1 The Ticket.
Morning, kids.
Hey.
So the first thing I thought of was Chris Shelton, and then Jamie chimed in and said, oh, but no one-hit wonders. Or, you know, I'm like, okay, so I'm done with that one. But then, Stoney, when you went on to describe, you talked about, you know, guys that had a career, or, you know, that kind of, and then they just fell off the... David Duval jumped right into my brain. I'm not a golfer, but it seemed to me he was headed to like Nicholas Tiger Woods sorts of numbers, and all of a sudden, boom, he was done. I mean, it was like he couldn't even swing a club anymore for some reason.
Jamie, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it partly because he like bulked up so much? It was part of it.
That's what golf people will say. I think that was part of it. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, you might remember the chronology better than I do, Stoney. He rose to be number one in the world after Tiger Woods had his first initial splash. So Tiger wins at Augusta in 97, and then all of a sudden it becomes the David Duval show.
Yeah.
And he was the number one player in the world. And then he won his one major, which was the British, I think in 01, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then you never heard from him again, really.
So, right. He still plays in, like, U.S. Open or ones that he's, like, qualified for every year. But that's about it. He's not a bad commentator, too. He's done a lot of work for, like, Golf Channel, things like that. But, man, he just, you know, he was the next best thing. Let's go to...
because everyone thought it was going to be Tiger and Phil, and it turned out to be Tiger and Phil for large stretches. But then it looked like it was going to be Tiger and Duval, and they would be one and two for the first part of this century.
And maybe for the next the match or whatever the hell it's called, they should have Woods and Mickelson, and they should have... Anthony Kim and David Duval play as well. Jason in Westland, you're a 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, guys. I got a couple good ones. Stefan Marbury and Brandon Roy, and then how about Freddie Adu? I was thinking about when I was on hold.
Well, Freddie Adu. He never really – Adu didn't do. That was his problem. He just got a lot of hype because he was so young.
Yeah, he did get a lot of hype.
Yeah, so
– Stefan Marbury had his own, like, shoe company or shoe brand, and then just out of nowhere went to China and was nowhere heard of. And then Brandon Roy with the injuries, obviously.
Yes, Brandon Roy. What a shame. And
I think Brandon Roy's coaching now or something, isn't he? Like, isn't he like a high school coach, I believe?
I'm not sure. I mean, Marbury was – I mean, there was a debate at one point in that year – who Philly was going to take number one. Was it going to be Iverson or Marbury? And obviously, they made the right choice, but Marbury was very good with the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah. And remember he was alluding to that shoe? he basically made a shoe with Payless or JCPenney or something like that, the Starbury.
Right.
Evan will know more about it than I remember, but the gist of it was is that he was making an NBA-caliber shoe that was affordable to the average person.
Because I think he came
and
to,
I'm
like...
sure the quality wasn't as good as Nike or Adidas, but still.
But then he come to, like, Great Lakes Crossing, what, with Stephen Barry's? Is that the name of the place there? I think he did.
They
did
a big thing there.
What was it called? The Starbury? Wasn't that what the shoe
Starbury,
was called?
Yeah, the Starbury.
Yeah. All right, Alex.
And he and KG were teammates. They were like, that was like the dynamic duo.
Yeah. Was Chauncey on that team at the same time, too? I'm trying to remember. I don't
probably
think so. Alex in Royal Oak, what's up?
Hey, so first name that came to my mind, it's a little bit more recent, but Deron Williams. He was really good towards the end of his time with the Jazz, and then when he first got to Brooklyn, he kind of looked like he was easily top 5 point guards in the league for a while there. Took Brooklyn to a couple of playoffs, and then just kind of out of nowhere, his numbers dropped off, got traded to Dallas, and he was just kind of, not to me, never heard from again, and dude just kind of disappeared.
Isn't he blamed for, like, Jerry Sloan, you know, basically ending, losing his career?
He was a big part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I've heard that.
Yeah, thanks for the call. That's a good one, because he was great for a while. I mean, he was...
He really was, and I remember when that whole Jerry Sloan thing fell apart, and obviously he's been in the news because he passed away a couple of weeks ago, but it just became clear that while Sloan was getting the most out of him, a la Larry Brown and Allen Iverson, it just got to the point where they couldn't play with each other anymore, and so Sloan stepped down, and it was stunning because it was like, this is the guy who's outlasted everybody, and he can't outlast Deron Williams. And then there's a pretty good what's the cold takes exposed tweet? There was a pretty good SI cover, and it's got Jason Kidd as coach, along with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Deron Williams, and maybe Chris Humphreys, and basically how, like, this is the new power in the East, the Brooklyn Nets, and they didn't do jack squat with that team. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. And a text, if you want to text in. We are talking about guys who were there and then all of a sudden just disappeared for whatever reason. The jumping off point, Sean Kemp, dominant player in the 90s in the NBA, made the 1996 Dream Team 2. We interviewed Dwayne Casey a few weeks ago, who was at the time an assistant coach for the Sonics. And I remember when they played the Bulls in one of those finals, and the best player on the floor was undoubtedly Michael Jordan, and the second best player was Sean Kemp, and that included Gary Payton and Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. And then he gained weight and went to Cleveland and was never the same after that.
Sean Kemp could do it inside, outside, offense, defense. He was great. All right, we have some ticket texts at 248-539-9797. I'm going to dispute some of these, Jamie. Even though we say that opinions are correct, or there's no right or wrong opinion, it's just an opinion. All right, you ready? Blake Griffin. Great with the Clippers, and injuries have taken him off the map. Probably won't be in the Hall of Fame either. That's Tyler on a mower. I don't think Blake Griffin's fallen off the map. I mean, especially...
He was All-NBA third team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He is a very, very good player. When he's healthy, he's a great player, or really, really good if you want to get into the whole great, really, really good debate. I think that the texture there is using... A, what happened over the last calendar year to Blake, and B, his salary to go against him a little bit. And both of those are legitimate reasons, but he still is a fantastic player. And I don't know the Basketball Hall of Fame. I don't know how he'll stack up when all is said and done. He has had Hall of Fame years along the way. There's no doubt about that.
All right, how about this one? Juan Gonzalez was on his way to being an all-time great, came to Detroit, bitched about the fences, was never heard from again. That's from David Dearborn.
What, he went to Cleveland after here, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
I think. He really did kind of put up seemingly monstrous home run numbers. Come to Detroit, those numbers dropped off considerably, and then that was it for Juan Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Injuries had a lot to do with it as well. How about these? And these are obviously, they're always paired together. Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. on the fast track to the Hall of Fame, then self-destructed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, both had weird revival acts, if you will, with the Yankees. Gooden threw a no-hitter with the Yankees. Strawberry had some big hits for some of those Yankee championship teams. But yes, both were destined to be in the Hall of Fame, and drugs and injuries were big reasons why both weren't.
Travis Hafner and Grady Sizemore.
Oh, wow.
Hafner's a great one, I think.
Both of them are. Grady Sizemore was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he was being called the best player of a generation. Grady Sizemore.
Yeah. He ended up being what did the killer used to say? Just a guy, right? Not even.
Well, I don't know if Killer ever said that, but that was an expression, just a guy.
Yeah.
And then, Hafner was actually around more than I think people realize. Hafner was in the Galarraga game. He played in that game. Like, I thought, for some reason, I thought that was beyond the Hafner-Pronk era, but he stuck around for a while.
All right.
Josh from Troy has a good one. Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, but he started playing really well last year, and then he got hurt for the Phillies.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of biased. I mean, he played okay for the Giants.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, we have a good one. Tim Lincecum, one of the best pitchers in baseball, and then he was just gone.
That's accurate. I mean, the Giants won 3 World Series championships. He was their dominant starter in the first one. He was like kind of a weird long relief guy in their second one. And he was a non-factor in their third one. And then he was an angel for about a day and a half. And then that was it. Gone.
How about this one I just came up with? And I think he had like over 1,000 yards like in his rookie year. And then he was just gone. He like bulked up. Steve Slayton. He was really good at West Virginia. Drafted by the Texans. And he had a really good rookie year. And then something happened. I don't know. Whatever happened to him.
I don't remember. I don't even remember his NFL career. I remember... Wasn't he and Pat White who played together at West Virginia?
Under the Professor Rich Rod.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay from Ann Arbor, Christian Okoye.
You know, Sody, there's a lot of those running backs, like Christian Okoye, Larry Johnson, even Chris Johnson. Remember Chris Johnson?
Yes.
Had the big year, and then he held out the following year, and then they gave him the money, and he never quite lived up to those standards ever again.
No. Boy, he was really good for a while. Speaking of football, Chad Ochocinco. Well, he's around social media, but was a dominant wide receiver and just completely fell off the cliff.
How about this one? And now I'm going to blank on his first name. The wide receiver for the Giants, Cruz.
Oh, Julio Cruz.
Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz, yeah. Who danced the salsa.
Yeah.
He was like... Then they got OBJ, and then, like, he just was done, right? I mean, we never heard from him again.
That's a good one. Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton, also mentioned by Josh and Troy over here. We're trying to remember that. MVP caliber seasons with the Rangers. Got a big money contract with the Angels, right?
Yeah.
And went to Anaheim, and it was just terrible. I mean, did nothing for the Angels.
How about now? We know we know where he is. He just is awful. Chris Davis.
Yes.
So I don't know if that counts because we know what he's doing.
There's a great video. Did you ever see the video? Someone dug it up. You know, Keith Law, who is Mr. Baseball Everything, and Jim Bowden, who at the time was an ESPN analyst, and they were at the winter meetings, and they were debating who should give Chris Davis what. And Jim Bowden was like, I'd give him 6 years starting at $20 million. So 6 years, $120 million. And what about you, Keith? And Keith's like, I'm out. Like, he's like, I wouldn't offer him anything. He's just not that good. And he turned out to be 1,000% correct because Chris Davis has been a dog ever since.
Dontrell Willis.
I mean, the fact that we saw it happen here in Detroit makes it, I think, maybe fresher for us. But if you're just an average baseball fan living in Phoenix or something like that, you're going to be like, whatever happened to Dontrell Willis? That's a really good one.
All right, here's one, and he has the same name somebody else has in the ticket text as well, so I won't steal thunder. Greg, what's up?
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Greg.
Mine is Jimmy Carson. He was awesome on Edmonton. Then he came to Detroit, and that was it. He had a couple decent seasons, but you never heard from him again after that.
Yeah, you thought he was going to be much better for the Rebels. He was great with the Kings, then the Oilers.
The Kings and the Oilers. He had that couple really great seasons before he got traded to Detroit, and then, never really panned out, I guess.
Yeah.
A few Red Wings. I mean, like Robert Lang, when he got here, was nothing here, and he came and was thought to be a guaranteed, 40-goal scorer. Darian Hatcher came here, didn't do much, and then he was done.
I remember that press conference. Illich was so happy to sign him, local kid and all that stuff. Well,
he said it was the greatest free agent signing he'd ever had in all of sports.
I know, which is incredible. A few other quick ones. Johnny Manziel. Justin Morneau, concussions.
Yeah.
And if a friend of mine is listening, he'll hate this one. But how about Glenn Sather, the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, wins all the Stanley Cups. No one ever saw him again. Well, he kind of built the Rangers into that 1994 and then completely ruined the team.
Yeah. But he was part of the 94 team, right, along with Neil Smith and...
Mike Keenan,
yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.